Welcome to Color Country Politics, where we discuss all the important political issues facing Iron County, Utah. Our guests include elected officials and community leaders in or representing Iron County.
This is Episode 19, Council Candidate Forum, Chris Dahlin, Cedar City.
Welcome back to Color Country Politics. I'm Jenny Hendricks, here with Jesse Harris.
Hello.
And we are continuing our series of interviewing all of the candidates that we can get on here who are running for a municipal election. We are really thrilled today. We have Chris Dahlin here with us. He is a candidate for Cedar City Council. So let's jump in.
Okay.
So first, tell us about yourself.
I traveled around the country with my parents until I got out of high school, and then ultimately moved up to Utah, and stayed in Utah for most of the time, and then moved away and came back in 93 as part of the refugees out of Southern California that began to show up here.
Third one we talked to so far.
Yeah, there's a lot of you guys.
Yeah. Well, there was. Yeah. You know, the Cold War was over. Orange County was losing jobs by 10,000 a month. And that's no exaggeration.
Wow.
That's exactly what was going on.
Wow.
And I had to find someplace else to live. And I had a friend of mine that moved here. In fact, I helped him move here. And then I came up and we decided to go skiing on a February week in 1993. And the wind was blowing so hard on Brian Head for 5 days in a row, we couldn't ski. So I got to get associated a little bit with Cedar City at that time.
Good.
But prior to that, back in the 80s, we would come up down here from Provo, and we'd come here for the summer and festival for the Shakespeare, of course, and we'd hang out. So that's what got me introduced to Cedar City, and then I've been here full time since '93. Got the family up here in early '95. My kids graduated from school here. I have two of them that graduated from SUU. SUU, mm-hmm. That's how I got introduced to Cedar City. And my professional life is kind of a mixed bag, like a lot of us. We try different things, or we do things for a number of years, and it's time to move on. So I was raised in the construction world. I did that for a whole lot of years. I got through college doing that kind of stuff, and after college. And after college, I got introduced to precious metals and foreign currency trading. Mm. I got to do that. I was trained in that kind of business and the economy of that, and mm-hmm. what moves markets, what moves economies, mm-hmm. and so I did that before I came up here. And when I came up here initially, I was in the construction, and ultimately I got involved with real estate appraising. And so that's what I do now. I've been appraising and this area of Utah for the past 26 years. And so that's sort of my bio. I had a mom, I had a dad, and
good.
Brothers and sisters, and cats and dogs. And
that's great. That's great.
So I always say you have to be at least a little bit nuts to decide to run for public office. What's your motivation to run for city council?
I was born nuts.
Well, that helps.
Well, part of it was I always had an interest in public policy. I always felt like I felt like I was a victim of public policy, especially as a person trying to start a business and get a business and try to get through college. And it seemed like there was always sort of a governmental hiccup that mm-hmm. was in your way. And, mm-hmm. and I became very attuned and very sensitive to governments and government actions and policies, and particularly taxation policies and things that look so innocuous on paper or in talking with people. But when it comes to policy that gets dropped on your doorstep, it becomes really quite difficult to bear and difficult to manage your life around. And I found that a lot of motivation to watch government. And so since I've been here in Cedar, I watch especially when I first moved here, I was watching very closely. Mm-hmm. What's Cedar like to be able to try to start a business or try to work here and try to be self-employed here? What's that going to be like? Mm-hmm. And because my earlier experiences from another state, I considered cruel and unusual punishment. So I don't know if I was really nuts. So from the outside, I was always kind of looking and watching, and I was very impressed when I first moved here. I mean, I was so impressed with all the amount of participation in government mm-hmm. by the locals. Mm-hmm. I was so impressed how things were working. They seemed fair, and they seemed to be even weighted. I mean, we need a government. Yeah. We need to have taxes. That's part of the support group platforms of civilization. Mm-hmm. And this Cedar City was just really run, I thought, really outstandingly well. And so I just watched from the outside. And then I saw corporate operations kind of moving in and go, hey, we got some open territory here in Iron County. Let's do things that I thought were really kind of, once again, it was going to be really impact a lot of people mm-hmm. negatively, and I got involved with, I became involved in local politics mm-hmm. at that point.
That's great. So what do you see at the city that the city is doing well? What are they accomplishing that you like?
Well, we're a special city. We have special amenities. We have a four-year university. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty special amenity.
Yeah.
We have a instrument-rated airport. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty special amenity. Mm-hmm. We have the Shakespeare Theater, mm-hmm. Tony-winning mm-hmm. Shakespeare Theater. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty special amenity. Mm-hmm. And then those amenities are run by really competent people.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of competent people here in Cedar City. And so I find that that really works. Mm-hmm. I've been in and out of the city offices now for 26 years, and I deal on a weekly or biweekly or sometimes often as maybe monthly with the city employees, mm-hmm. such as the engineering department,
sure.
and building department, and zoning department. These are really competent people.
Yeah.
I mean, I respect every one of them.
That's great.
So, so that's what I believe really works in Cedar City. So then the relevant question would be, well, then what in the heck am I doing here?
that's actually our next question, is the flip side. What needs to improve?
I'm not going to argue for improvement. I'm going to argue more that I can help. I can help with what has gone on. And for example, I believe what is really needed now, I mean, I think we have entered sort of almost a near crisis of available land mm-hmm. within Cedar City limits to be able to develop into affordable housing. Mm-hmm. And we're getting our affordable housing, but it's pretty cramped now. I mean, everything's a townhome yeah. or, and pretty soon we're going to be dropping this two-story stuff and start going to four-story. And I think we need to be really attuned to that. And there are ways that the city can facilitate. They can facilitate. And I like to see that kind of facilitation. I would like to see the continuance and the consideration by the city council and by the city elected people for the employees of the city. Mm-hmm. I like to see that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm proud of these guys. Yeah. I like associating
with them.
They do
a great job. Yeah.
And I want to make sure they have a retirement. I want to make sure they can pay their bills and, you know, have food on the table and Christmas under the tree and that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. And
it's hard to attract quality employees when you don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I see that as a role of city council. I don't see it as a place where let's with that really making deep considerations on what everybody's doing and what the workload is and all this other kind of stuff. But as the elected officials, they have sort of the last say. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure that they know just how well that we as citizens in this city of Cedar City mm-hmm. appreciate them and make sure that, like I said, our police officers mm-hmm. and our full-time fire department mm-hmm. and our full-time secretaries mm-hmm. and our full-time administrative assistants and building department folks, I mean, they all can have a equitable living.
Yeah.
Now, there's another thing I like is the idea we do have an economic development department. Mm-hmm. And there's more that I need to know about them and what they do. But, you know, when I left California, I didn't know why everybody else didn't leave with me. I don't understand why there are any companies still doing business down there.
Yeah.
Sunk costs.
What's that?
Sunk costs.
Yeah, you just, I mean, it seems to me you'd be able to say, hey, let me show you what's 6 hours away from Long Beach
uh-huh.
and what it's like for your people to live here and what it's like for your people to pay taxes here and what it's like for you to pay taxes here and what it's like. Look at all the government you don't get in this state that victimize you in this state of in this neighboring state.
Yeah.
So, you know, you want to get out of the victim process, you want to quit being the bad guy because you're running a business and they think that you're going to pay for everything?
Right.
Get out. Mm-hmm. And I don't, like I said, I don't understand why we don't have our port full of people
mm-hmm.
just can't wait to get out of that place.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a draconian victimization going on with businesses and corporations. And I just don't see why we just can't get some of the smaller companies that maybe, you know, 100, I don't know why we can't get 30 of them out of that state
right.
saying, let's come up there.
Yeah.
We can save money and make money, and all we got to do is drive 6 hours. And, you know, it can take you 6 hours to go 60 miles
yeah.
in that basin. Or you can go at the right time from Cedar City and get through in 6 hours.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, I've always been a promoter of Cedar City as a gasp of fresh air.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Figuratively and literally.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
So I answered the questions way too long. I apologize for
this. This is your time.
No,
it's better.
Long is good.
Yeah, okay. It is.
We don't want you to cut yourself short.
Nope, right. Our goal is to get as much information out to the people who are voting as we possibly can.
Okay.
So, yeah, so long answers are welcome.
Okay, thanks. Because as Jenny knows, I can go on.
Yes. Okay.
Expatiation encouraged.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about what you would like to accomplish should you be elected. What are your goals?
My goal, first of all, is to cooperate with the other elected folks. You know, I want to work with everybody. Among my faults is... and weaknesses, when things get prickly, is to try to figure out a way through the prickliness and try to figure out a way, can we develop bridges over here or can we develop bridges over there? And sometimes that can be seen as unprincipled.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to ask a lot of questions, and I ask a lot of questions because I'm trying to figure out a person's position, and then I try to help create the bridge. So mm-hmm. I'm actually, I don't believe in any kind of organization. I'm a guy that wants to blow it up. I'm not there to blow up the organization. However, I'm there to let's keep moving in a smart direction. Let's keep moving. We got to build bridges. Can we build the bridge? And if we can, let's build the bridge and let's get over the difficulty and mm-hmm. let's move on. Because Cedar is going to continue to grow. Mm-hmm. I mean, people who move here, they love it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've only known a few people to move away. Mm-hmm. And I moved here when we had about 15,000. Now mm-hmm. we're about to 30. Mm-hmm. And I used to drive through here when we had 8. And yeah. 8 was bigger than St. George.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so my contribution would be, I was on the Iron County Planning Commission for 9 years. Mm-hmm. So I got to see how it works. I mean, for 9 years. I mean, you get to learn how it all works. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I can help things work. I can talk with people. I can talk with department heads. I can talk with anybody. And I know how this works. Mm-hmm. 9 years as a Iron County Planning Commissioner gives you a good introduction to how things work.
Yeah, it really is a good sort of introduction to the decision-making process and what goes into, you know, governing an area.
And you know, there are things as I have never seen Iron County, and then I paid, you know, moderate attention to Cedar City. You know, those are two different governments.
Yeah.
And but I've never seen them make decisions based on dollars and cents. I mean, when I say, can we make more money off a tax? Mm. I've mm-hmm. never seen those kinds of decisions sure. ever made. We can make more money as a city if we tax the people this way. Mm-hmm. I have never seen that. Mm-hmm. I don't see greed or avarice. Mm-hmm. I don't, in our midst, I don't plan on, adding any greed or avarice to it. But I can ask a lot of questions. And because of my appraisal background and my, you know, attempts at, and, you know, successful attempts at starting my own businesses. And I'm very sensitive to those kinds of questions. Mm-hmm. I'm hypersensitive. And if I see that, you know, this idea can go one way or it can go another, I'll ask plenty of questions. And the attempt of the questions is for me to understand and for everybody else to understand and say, well, this is a sticking point, you know, and I'm not going to go this way. One of the things that I really can look carefully at, and it would be expected of me if I were elected, the budget. Mm-hmm. Can you analyze a budget? Can you figure out what those line items mean and if they're justified? Mm-hmm. Do you know how to look at it and how to find justification for those line items? And I know how to do that. It's what I do. And so I think that's important. Mm-hmm. They have elected people to monitor the money. I'd like to see, of course, I don't want to see any taxes ever come forward. Mm-hmm. And the main questions I will ask, if anything's coming before us as a body, would be who does it benefit? How many does it benefit? Does it benefit 2? Or does it benefit hundreds or thousands? Hmm. And if it only benefits 2, how many hundreds or thousands may it not benefit? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a benefit that I always ask. I'll go down the track of benefit. I'll go down the next track of money. How much is it going to cost? What's it going to cost the city? And then I'll say, you're going to try to cross the city? How you want to offset that cost? Mm-hmm. How are you going to earn the money for that cost? It's like your son, you know? You want a car? How are you going to earn the money for the car? You know, that's the way the rest of us have to work.
Right.
And you know, where's the money? Who wants to spend it? Mm-hmm. Why you want to spend it? What rules you want to change? Who's a benefit? How many will it benefit with the rules change? How many people may not benefit or may even be negatively benefited? No, negatively affected.
Impact. There you go.
And so that's what I get into. Mm-hmm. And I know how to ask those questions. I'm not afraid to ask those questions. I'm not afraid to put them on the table. And because they're only questions and they're only ideas, and somebody else can always have a better idea. Mm-hmm. And someone else can always have an overarching question or an overarching answer. And so it's a process of searching and coming to conclusions and then nailing down an answer and going forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what I can contribute. I mean, it's more of a, it's what I do.
So let's say you're in an elevator with someone for a couple of minutes. You have your opportunity to pitch them on why they should vote for you. What do you tell them?
I'm a believer, a strong believer in a literal interpretation of the of the Constitution of the United States, number one. Number two, a little government is way better than a large government, but government's necessary. I'm not, let's blow the whole thing up and become an anarchist. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, because I've been participating, I wanted to assist. I wanted to help the city continue to move forward. I don't see any reversals. I do see we've got some hiccups in land development, keeping land costs down. Mm-hmm. I do see, and that will impede the younger generation from staying here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's a mistake not to make room for the younger generation. Mm-hmm. That's a serious mistake. And we will face that mistake in 10 years. Mm-hmm. And we need to make room, and we need to go find those companies down in California and get me the heck out of here.
More refugees.
Yeah, we want more California refugees. Not necessarily to change the culture of Cedar City. There's been so much. There's so much here. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have an art museum, for heaven's sakes.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful one.
Yeah, we have a Shakespeare theater, and you know, kids have good experience here. Mm-hmm. Adults have good experiences here. When I first moved here, there were 3 lights.
Yeah.
Now, 2 years ago, I went around and counted them. We had 23. Uh-huh. I don't know what we have today. I think there's 1 or 2 more per in.
Probably. Probably. Well, is there anything else you want voters to know about you?
I have a pretty wife.
That's all you need, folks. There you go.
I have a pretty wife. And she's taught me the word, I'm sorry, and... Yeah, I'll never do that again. And
very good.
Amen to spouses that make us better.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, we sure appreciate you coming in. We appreciate
thank you very
your time.
Much. Thanks and for doing this, Jenny.
Yeah,
thank
absolutely.
You, Jesse.
Absolutely. So this is Color Country Politics. We've had Chris Dahlin on, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Color Country Politics, a production in cooperation with Utah Politico Hub and graciously sponsored by Century 21 Prestige Realty at 121 North Main Street, Cedar City. Special thanks to Amoeba Crew for use of their song Background Indie Rock, licensed under Creative Commons. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Also, check out our YouTube channel where we post video of our interviews. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and our website at www.colorcountrypolitics.com.